Infamous Indy presents the Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Melillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions on whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Digging Up Dillinger. I'm your host, always Joe Melillo. And we got today Mike Thompson. Travis is off today. Todd Hiles and Stuart Fillmore. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey everybody.
Man. Hey.
Before we get started, let's just talk about something that I love. We got we got a shop that you can go and get t-shirts, hats, and even a coffee mug with our logo and stuff on it. So I'm going to actually do everybody a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, you just go to diggingupdillinger.com. Yeah, I know it's that easy. And you go to diggingupdillinger.com and you click on the shop portion and you'll get sent to this page that's on our YouTube page, and you can see. And like, this is pretty cool stuff, because on the front it says Digging Up Dillinger Podcast. On the back of the shirt it says Dig 'em Up. D-I-G-E-M.
I like
with an
that.
Apostrophe
I like that.
Up. Have you guys seen this yet? Have you guys seen our shop yet? Mike and
I haven't.
I've seen it, but I've never looked at the back of the shirts. I like
that. Yeah, I love the back there.
Yeah, and then, of course, I got the hats that say, Dig 'em Up.
Yeah.
So I'll be, like your back in crime hats, guys, ours will say Dig 'em Up, so I'll make sure to wear those next time. And then look at our cool Digging Up Dillinger Podcast mug. That's called a mug shot, by the way.
There you go. Hey, yeah. Oh, man, that's really good.
And then I'm actually wearing this the shirt that's on here now, which is it doesn't have anything on the back, but it's the sand color, and I've got it on, and it's with John's mugshot, and I'm really excited about it, because the lady who does this for us, literally, as you guys purchase these products, she gets most of the money, like, because she makes them for us basically for free. We're doing this with her in conjunction, but the slight proceeds that she gets, she's going to pass along, and we're going to try to again put this towards our project to try to raise money to help us do what we need to do. One more quick shout out on the shirts. There's a few of them on here, and I'm going to load a couple more that are really cool, and including the one that says "History Breaking." Which is we love saying that on our podcast, that this is a
absolutely
history breaking podcast. So we have hoodies, we have crew necks, t-shirts, hats that say "History Breaking Hoodie." This is a history breaking podcast. So so when you wear it out in public, and people ask you, "What do you mean history breaking?" Just be like, "It's the one of a kind podcast. You got to listen to it. It's called Digging Up Dillinger."
Great.
So there you
awesome.
Go, guys.
Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it really
like
is.
It. Yeah, nope. Thank you guys for saying that. It's been a lot of work too, because obviously, as you guys know from the Texas Crime Travelers and Back in Crime podcast, you got to come up with these designs. You got to come up with things that you want to put on the podcast or on the shirts from the podcast. And you know, it's just difficult. It's not easy.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think that was Travis that came up with that history breaking.
Yep. He did. We got some more sayings coming up, and obviously, if you go to diggingupdillinger.com and you go down into the project news portion, or you could just send us an email at diggingupdillinger@gmail.com. You guys, if there's sayings that you like that were like great, that you really like, that are standing out with you, go ahead and send it to us, and we'll try to put them on a t-shirt or something for you, and then you can buy it.
Absolutely. Yep.
So now, let's get into a little bit of the podcast itself. Now, we took 2 weeks off again. We don't mean to do that, folks. Like, I just want to be very clear. Like, life is hard. We're doing this for free. But also, Mike wasn't feeling the best, so we wanted to give him some time to rest up. Stuart, you were on a project for your normal life. And then Todd, you know, you and me just can't be talking about it, because
You know, who wants to watch that?
Right, exactly. We need Stewart.
Well, at least Mike. Golly.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
Yeah, yeah. So just we apologize and we thank you guys for sticking with us. We keep going, but also we don't want to waste anybody's time. We're not just going to come on here to talk because we can and we have a platform. We want to give you good information, and we're going to continue to investigate this. Right, Stewart?
Absolutely. I mean, this is something, you know, this is a passion of mine. And it's ultimately just a search for the truth. That's really what it boils down to. And, you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm always open to new ideas and new leads on this. And so, yeah, it is what it is. I'm not going to stop.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And as far as the family, I mean, Travis, me, we just want to either it is or it isn't.
Exactly. I mean,
it's pretty simple.
Yep.
We came pretty close a few years ago. And we're going to keep going. But one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, actually the only thing we're going to talk about tonight on this episode, is the pants that John was killed in that night.
Yeah.
We actually, you guys, Stewart specifically, were able to touch them, feel them, and actually get a sample and then send that sample to Pure Gold Forensics out in California.
Yep.
Then they gave you information back.
Yes.
So we're going to actually bring that information to you guys because we think you guys need to get caught up. Sometimes you and I, Stuart and Mike and Todd, we kind of like just assume like, oh yeah, they don't know this, that we already did DNA on the pants. Like
yeah.
This is huge. This is huge. Like,
yeah, this is a great story.
Yeah. So we're going to go into it. I'm going to pull up the actual documents, but I want Stuart to start from the beginning and Mike, obviously fill in, tell the listeners where the pants came from. How did you get in possession of them? Tell us about the moment that you actually got to hold them, see them, and then grab that sample from them.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into the results.
So Joe, I'll go into all of that. And it's really a compelling story. It's really interesting, but let me bring it back to something that's kind of funny. So do you remember that you came into Mike's man cave and we all sat around the round table? I think Mike and I had a couple of Captain and Cokes, you know, and we did a podcast for I think it was your infamous Indy.
Yeah.
Podcast,
the infamous Indy
right?
One. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think Scott Umstead was there with, Mike Travis and me and you, and we were being a little bit, what's the word, secretive about that. We had something brewing, you know, that we thought was going to be blockbuster, but, we were trying to keep it under our hat. And so really at the time, what that was is we had gotten permission from the museum that owned the pants to, you know, get those pants tested for DNA samples. And so that's what it was. And, you know, we were very excited about it. And I to this day think we have some very interesting results. There's some admin issues that have stopped us from being able to really use it. But the story is very, very compelling. So, I'll just start. So after we found the map, and, you know, I think we've told this story before that, you know, this was about doing this show for the History Channel and, you know, going to find the lost loot of Dillinger. We find the map, History Channel ends up thinking the map was faked and that, we're not interested in the map, but we want to find out about this imposter theory. And it just occurred to me as an investigator, the most efficient way to, you know, solve the imposter theory would be to exhume the body. You know, it turns out that there were a lot of people that just didn't want that to happen. And so that ended up a nightmare. And so that was stopped. So from there, you try to figure out what's the next best thing. So in the FBI Dillinger file, there's a report done by an agent that did a very thorough report detailing all the clothes that Dillinger wore, right down to his underwear and socks. And he described the pants that Dillinger was wearing that night and that it had a specific laundry mark in the pants. Boy, at one time I could tell you
what
that.
What do you mean laundry mark?
So I guess in those days when you went to you took your pants to a laundry to be cleaned and pressed, they put on there I guess in some kind of permanent marker for the day, a unique number that identified those pants to the owner, and man, I tell you, at one time I knew that number off the top of my head from doing so much work on this, but I can't remember it right now. But nonetheless, in the FBI report, it gives this this number. So it turns out that a lot of this work was with Shane, because what we had a DNA sample from the map, and Mike had contributed his DNA to compare with that. So we knew that the map had male Dillinger DNA on it. But we wanted to confirm, you know, that this is all about confirming the map, by the way. You know, we wanted to confirm that the DNA on the map that we had was Dillinger's. And so we had the pants that if it was Dillinger, he would have been wearing the night of the Biograph Theater. So I thought, well, maybe there's some blood. Maybe there's something we can test on those pants to compare ultimately with the map. And if it matches the map, and that, you know, that's going to pretty much say that was Dillinger that was killed. Because
let me ask you this question.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
How did they get to those pants?
So the pants actually had been, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when after Dillinger was killed and the FBI returned some, but maybe not all of the of John's property, I think the shirt went to your mom and the pants went to Francis, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Francis and my mom. Yeah, the shirt went to mom. Mom had it.
I'm sorry, your mom is Francis. Yeah. The pants went to Doris.
Went to Audrey.
Audrey. Okay, that's right. Because Audrey's still alive at that point. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right.
Audrey had the pants.
Right.
Mom had the shirt. And
okay.
And Audrey sold some items to Joe Pinkston that had the original museum in Nashville, Indiana.
Right. So yeah. So Joe Pinkston had the contents of the Dillinger Museum for many years, and those pants had been on display for years. We don't know exactly, you know, how they were stored prior to that, who all handled them and all that stuff. So we had done a lot of research trying to find out, hey, is it even worth testing? And the answers we got were somewhat varied, but yeah, basically you can. I mean, the DNA may have a mixture on it. Your sample may have a mixture, but if it's my blood on something and other people touch it, their DNA could mix in there, but I would come out as the primary contributor, as they call it. So, of a sample, if it's just a big blood stain from me. The pants had at some point, Joe Pinkston sold the contents to this museum that is in up in Hammond, Indiana. It's called the South Shore Visitors Convention Bureau, I think. Yeah. And so they had a Dillinger Museum up there. Shane and I got in touch with the folks from that museum and just said, well, hey, this is what we're trying to do. Would you allow us to test these pants? And so, yeah, they gave us permission to do it. So we went up on we ended up on two occasions going up there. But the first time we went, we have to give a shout out to our old friend Scott Umstead on this, because Scott was very instrumental in helping us do this. We wanted to get photographs and everything. So when we went, we definitely put on hazmat suits. We gloved up. We wore masks. We want to make sure that we didn't contaminate any further, these pants. We wanted the sample to be as pure as we could. So just to start with, we inspected the pants. And, they were clearly old. We found a tag in there that said made by the NRA. Now, that's not the National Rifle Association. In the 1930s, there was a Depression-era government agency called the National Relief Administration. The NRA of those days was basically a work program. So I guess these pants had been made as part of that.
Recovery Administration.
Okay, National Recovery Administration.
Prime agency established by Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1933. The goal was to eliminate cutthroat competition by bringing industry, labor, and government together to create codes of fair practices and prices.
And I think actually it was only in existence for maybe a couple, 3 years, because I think the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional. But regardless, it definitely gave the pants an authenticity that it's from the right time. and you could see that the pants were in remarkably good shape, but that tag itself was a little bit dated, and you could tell it was old and authentic. So I pulled the pants inside out to see like the pockets and that kind of stuff. And as it turns out, there was a very obvious blood stain in the right pants pocket.
Wait, when did you get the pants actually in your possession? Did you go pick them up, or did somebody drop?
No. We went to the museum.
Oh, you went to the museum.
Where they're stored.
I didn't go, so there wouldn't be no way of saying that I touched them or anything.
We specifically did not want, we excluded Mike and Travis, not because they weren't part of the project.
Sure.
It's because we didn't want there to be any, we wanted a clear
cross-contamination.
Exactly. Well said. So anyway, when I pulled the pants inside out, there was an obvious blood stain in the right pants pocket. And then there was also another maybe blood, maybe some other type of human fluid matter in the crotch of the pants. Both were fairly sizable stains. So we talked with the DNA lab that we were going to use about which one may be the best, to try to sample, because we were speculating that the one in the crotch was a fecal stain. And so I actually just thought, as a layman, I thought fecal maybe better than blood for, DNA purposes, but the lab felt that the blood would be better. So anyway, we got a sample.
Which lab? Forensic?
Pure
Gold Forensics?
Uh-huh.
And then...
go ahead.
Just real quick, when you turn them inside out, could you tell the difference between the blood and the fecal matter?
Yes. I mean, they were a different color, but that could be that where they were on the pants was also a different, the color of the material was a little different. So that could account for why the stain was different.
Okay.
To be perfectly graphic, though, this is a true crime podcast, and sometimes the details of things get kind of graphic.
They can handle it. Go for it.
Yeah. So when there's a violent death of the kind that was described by Dillinger, it's not unusual for people to evacuate their bowels. And so we know that Dillinger was on the run when he was shot. Also, too, another thing that kind of makes sense to me is that there's various accounts, but for the most part, there was an indication that they said he was reaching for his gun. So how they knew he had a gun, I don't know. It's a pretty good assumption, because he shot his way out of so many things, but that he was reaching for his gun, which to me says, hey, it looks like he's reaching in his pocket maybe. And maybe he never got a chance to get his hand out of his pocket. He took one to the back of the head that exited, below the right eye. So that's, if he's not dead at that point, the lights certainly went out. And so he would have hit the ground just hard, flat, and, on the run. And if his hand was still in his pocket and he's still alive, which he would have been probably for, a couple minutes at least. And when he lands on the ground, that and his hand's on the gun, it could have scraped his hand against the pavement and accounts for that it was a pretty good size stain in the pocket. And then the other one could be just, again, that how the bowels might relax. And if the body hits the ground hard, it could evacuate the bowels. So that was my that's my theory on what those stains are and where they come from. Again, giving credence to that, these are the pants that whoever was killed at the Biograph was wearing. So to verify this even further, I wanted to get this laundry mark that the FBI had documented in their inventory of Dillinger's clothes, but. You couldn't see it with the naked eye. You couldn't see anything. There might have been a little bit of writing on it, but it didn't. And that is another type laundry mark of some kind. But you could not. It did not match what the FBI had. It was a series of numbers, and whatever you could see did not match. Well, this is where our good friend Scott Umstead was just invaluable. His help on this, because he. He had a very sophisticated camera, to document this. So we videoed this. We took still photographs, and Scott took some up close photos of the pants, from all angles and everything. So anyway, we collect the sample in the way that the lab had suggested. It was a slight cut into the blood stain in the pocket, and bag that up appropriately so that it could be sent to the lab. And then later on that night, Scott was looking over all his photos, and he was we want to find this laundry mark, but you just can't see it. So Scott had the idea that, you know, maybe with a different, lighting, or, you know, if we put maybe the camera caught this, and maybe if I do some lighting effects on it, I can bring it out. And sure enough, he did. It's very faint, but it is clearly there. So that tells me, you know, the NRA, tag in there gives authenticity to it. I think the FBI just described them as gray pants, you know, with laundry mark. They were gray, but there's a pattern on them as well. But, you know, when you see this laundry mark, it's just, man, that pretty much for me sealed the deal that these are the Biograph pants. There's just no question about it.
So that's the same laundry mark number that's in the FBI report.
Correct. Okay. Yes. And, you know, so that's going to be, you know, talking about how the History Channel said that we faked the map, you know, despite the fact that there was a route over the thing. That's just too much to fake, you know, on these pants. So those are the real deal. And so, you know, we sent the sample off to the lab, and Joe, I think we have the results of that here. If you want to put that up.
Yeah, before we talk about the results, so it's great you guys were able to look at it, but what do you do with evidence like that, right? Like I know you turned it inside out, you got your gloves on, you're all covered up so you don't kind of contaminate or cross contaminate. But you're like, what are you actually doing? You're taking like, you take water and pull the water out and then use that as the sample that you're sending, or what's the goal?
So we actually went on two different occasions for this. And the first time we went, because I did not want to touch, I didn't want to cut anything on those pants. So we swabbed it first to begin with. And unfortunately, the swabbing just did not get enough material for the lab to come up with a big enough sample to, you know, to have a full profile. So we went back a second time, and at that time cut a tiny amount, up from the pocket, from the stain, to send off to the lab. And so that ultimately, I think, is the results that we have,
because
that swabbing, I think, didn't produce anything, as I recall.
Interesting. So, here, let's go ahead and pull it back up.
Hey, before we look at those results, let's one more time tell our listeners about our merchandise.
Yeah, speaking about our merchandise. So you can buy a piece of that swab if you want. No, I'm just kidding. That would be pretty cool to own, wouldn't it, guys?
Yeah, it really would. Now that I think about it, but I sent that to the lab, so I don't know. I bet the lab still has it.
Here, I'm actually going to show you guys something. I'm really into
buy a thread from the pants.
Right. Well, that's where I'm going with this, Mike. So, as I get my desk all sorted here, so I'm like really into like collecting like pieces of history. Like I have a piece of the Berlin Wall and stuff like that. But like there's a card company that creates cards, and I know it's blurring out, and I'm sorry. But it creates cards like this. This is a Mark Twain card that I pulled. And it's actually a piece of authentic relic. The front of this card is like an authentic relic of one of his, that's his handwriting. So I have a piece of history from Mark Twain just sitting at my desk. Here's an old newspaper has to do with Benjamin Franklin that was collected. So these history relics are really cool, in my opinion. Like,
I agree. Yep.
So, I mean, you never know. This one's really cool. This one's Enzo Ferrari, a piece of his jacket that he wore while he was actually riding. So anyway, maybe one day, hint, hint, we will maybe Mike will be willing to kind of auction off some real life content that was John Dillinger's. I don't know if people would be interested in that, but how about this? Let us know. Comment on our TikTok and or email us and let us know. We'd love to hear if there's actual interest for that. Anyway, I know we didn't talk about my merch, which you can still go to diggingupdillinger.com, click on the shop, and you can buy it right now and have it in a couple of days and start wearing it just like me right now. But let's look at the results, because I think that tells a lot of the story, wouldn't you say, Stuart?
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Stuart, turn your mic up a little bit too. Just a little bit of volume, if you can. Okay.
You're asking a lot there.
I know. You boomer. Okay. That joke didn't land. Anyway, here's the report. Can you guys see this all right?
Yes.
Okay. The subject is John Dillinger. This is from Pure Gold. I'm not going to show. It's got Shane's phone number on this, so I really don't want to show it. But the report cross-references the Pure Gold Forensics report on May 11, 2020. This report is in reference to the following items, which are submitted by Shane Williams via the United States Postal Service, or UPS, and received on August 20th, 2020. So the items that were given an item designation were two swabs of the crotch stain, also two swabs of the right pocket, and two more swabs of the right pocket. So it looks like you got eight swabs of each here, Stuart.
Yeah. And actually, yes, I'd forgotten that when we did the swab, we took it from both stains. Yeah, that's right. And that makes sense, because that's easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you wanted to get it from, you know, as much of the, you know, of the stain as you could, and from different parts of it.
Yeah. So the report is also in reference to the evidence submitted on September 10th, which was cutting from crotch pants.
Right. So, yeah. So we found out that the swabs taken in August, you know, just did not produce enough material. So that's why we did the second one in September.
Awesome. So the results / conclusion. So 3A swabs of the crotch stain was tested for the presumptive presence of blood using the ortho-toledyne test. This item tested weakly positive for the presumptive presence of blood. Can you translate that, Stuart?
They think it's blood, but they can't definitively say so.
So they don't even know what the substance is based on the test.
Exactly.
Okay. And then the same goes for the swabs of the right pocket stain. Tested presumptive presence of blood using ortho-toledyne test. This item tested negative for the presumptive presence of blood. So it means it wasn't blood in the right pocket stain.
Yeah. I don't remember that, actually.
I'm just reading from what we got.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and is it because of how old it is, partly,
or maybe the swab didn't pick up what it was supposed to pick up on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, folks. We are obviously not DNA report experts.
I'll be the first to tell you. I'm not.
We are literally reading this and trying to get the information that we're hoping to just bring to you. So, all right, swabs of the right pocket stain. Remember, there were eight different swabs, two of each, right? This one, due to the uncertain number of contributors and the low level of DNA detected, this profile does not meet the laboratory's criteria for use in statistical calculations, and therefore no comparisons can be made to reference the item. That's kind of like what you were saying, Stuart, like they didn't get enough.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Cutting from the crotch pants. So this one obviously is pretty clear what that is. A partial mixed DNA profile. It also says no human blood was detected on the cutting from the crotch pants.
Right.
A partial DNA profile consistent with originating from at least two individuals with at least one male was obtained from item 4A. Due to the low level of the DNA detected, the unknown number of contributors, this profile is not suitable for comparisons. And then, so it sounds like they didn't get anything from that either.
Right.
Okay.
But there are actually some numbers that I remember seeing that I thought were intriguing.
And they also destroyed the evidence after
2 years.
2 years.
unless the following occurs.
Yeah, which is the agency from the original evidence was received must notify Pure Gold in writing within 90 days prior to the due date, destruction of the evidence and analysis of byproducts required for storage. So,
and I did not follow up on that. I don't know if Shane did or not.
Yeah, I don't think Shane did either. Why would he? Unless we had a reason to.
Yeah.
And then here's some, you know, item description, swabs from the front of the map, major type swabs from the back, major type swabs from the pocket and cutting. So, like, you could see they got a lot of NRs, which I'm sorry, like, not readable, I'm assuming. Right. Or like,
yeah.
So a lot of that pants was like just maybe not possible to pull the DNA.
Right. Exactly.
The fecal so
you see
matter.
If you see those different numbers, like in each sure. each column there,
yep.
What I think those are DNA, what are called loci. So, is it 13 or 26 loci?
Seeing how the numbers don't go past 24 here, so probably
okay. So maybe it's 20. Maybe there's 24 loci. Okay, yeah. And those are the little markers that they're looking for. And what. What I think, and I haven't looked at this in a few years, but my memory of going through it when we first got this was, I thought it was interesting that the loci that we had from the map actually did not match the loci, at least that was found on the pants. So to me, that jumped out as, you know, hey, we know we have a Dillinger male on the map, but yet the loci that we do have from the pants does not match the loci from the map. And so we had a long talk with Suzanne on that, and it was she said that is not a definitive thing. It's almost like a false positive kind of effect. So yeah, so it's inconclusive really about that, but it is certainly tantalizing.
So here's this page, I think. Maybe this isn't it. This is another example. It looks like it's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
Okay.
Report just duplicated. And then here's a page that I found in it that I thought was interesting. Cybergenetics has completed the initial True Alley computer analysis of the DNA evidence in your John Dillinger case. Attached are the preliminary match statistics in the information find. Mike Thompson's DNA is present in the map evidence. DNA from unknown males is present in the map evidence. One unknown male's DNA is both the front and back of the map. DNA from unknown females is present in pants evidence. The pants DNA is not very informative. There is no statistical right. support for a match between contributors of the map and pants data.
Right.
Let me just say that again. Wait.
Yeah.
Let just say it again. I'm going to say it slower because I think it's really interesting. There is no statistical support for a match between contributors of the map and pants data. So they don't have enough evidence to be able to match or not match.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it remains a mystery, honestly. It didn't definitively say those are Dillinger's pants. But on the same token, you can't automatically say, you know, that it was an imposter killed at the Biograph.
But it's so annoying. That's the most annoying thing.
There's definitely a male DNA that matched mine on the map.
Correct. Right. And if I read that right, I think Mike, you must have held that map. I think you did a little bit, you know, when we first found it, because it said that your DNA was on there as well. I don't think we were surprised about that.
Again, item swabs from the back of the map, a mixture of DNA consistent. And there you go, determined at 22 or 24 loci tested. So major okay. DNA types are determined at 22 and 24 loci tested. The major profile is suitable for comparisons to known reference standards. I mean, I'm assuming that's because it's
Yeah, that's from the map. So that So even though the map was a partial profile as well, there was enough to make that conclusion.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for me, you know, in my career in the FBI, I never really worked much on anything that involved DNA. So I was really a neophyte to it when we were working.
Great word, by the way. Neophyte.
Well, I was a beginner.
Sure.
And so, you know, I always just assumed that, you know, if you had DNA, that it was, you know, it was a definitive thing and you know, clear-cut science. And I learned that it's not as clear cut as I thought it was, that there are nuances to it. And, you know, especially when you start getting into these partial profiles and you have multiple contributors. Yeah. And that's not unexpected because those pants were, you know, no one ever, you know, thought to, you know, not touch the pants. In fact, I think there's a story about when they were filming Public Enemies. I think Johnny Depp actually tried those pants on. Is that right, Mike?
He may have. I'm not for sure.
Yeah, so I forget where I heard that story, but I think that's true. So, you know, you've had people, you know, touching these pants for years and years and years. So I'm surprised there weren't more, you know, contributors on it. But so, yeah, you know, it's in some ways these results are encouraging, but there's certainly you just can't definitively say. So the mystery continues.
Just dig them up. Fucking dig them up.
That's a one way of
Todd
showing something. Who it is.
Well, and again, you would think that you know, if it was Dillinger, that you would have. You know, even though we only have a few loci in this thing, you would think that they would all match up. So why don't they match up? And I've never actually had an answer to that question. So if we have a listener out there that, you know, is fluent in DNA science, I'd love to hear that because I remember asking the Susanna from the Pure Gold Forensics about it. And as nice and professional as she was, it just went over my head. And so it still logically doesn't make sense to me that it seems like if it was Dillinger, that it should just light up like a Christmas tree and match all across the board, no matter how, you know, small of a sample you have, should be there.
And I was just going to mention earlier in the episode, we talked about Mike's mom getting the shirt.
Yeah.
And I think we probably should let the listeners know what happened to the shirt.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
My mother in the mid-60s, early to mid-60s, was cleaning up the attic and come across the trunk and opened it up, and the shirt was in one of the trunks, and she took it out and burned it in the backyard. And I asked her, and when I got older, why she did that, and she said it was bad memories.
Yeah, that's completely and utterly understandable.
Right.
No, it's not. Damn it.
That just probably had more blood on it.
Oh, it did. Oh, have.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, because he took one to the back of the.
Yeah,
yeah.
What about?
Did you ever see the shirt, Mike, growing up?
No, I don't say I didn't. I don't really remember. I did see some things. There was a trunk that the federal wasn't FBI yet, but the Fed sent that John. When he escaped St. Paul,
yeah,
he left some stuff, and so Mom had that trunk, and it was marked the feds and a date on it and everything. Matter of fact, she had two trunks. One was the one with the shirt and stuff in it, and the other was the stuff from St. Paul. And John laughed about it because some of the stuff was his, but the overcoat that was in there was Harry Pierpoint's, and it was way too big for him. He laughed. He goes, "That's Harry's coat."
Yeah, because I think Pierpont, I think he was actually tall for the day. I think he was like 6'2" or so.
Yeah,
he was pretty tall for the day.
So yeah, it was pretty big on John.
Yeah.
So Mom had those two different trunks, and I can't really remember what all was in the shirt. She had other, I have the handkerchiefs. There's like four handkerchiefs that was John's. One of them, I don't know if it's blood stain. It looks like rust. It's kind of reddish.
Yeah.
So it could be blood. It could be something else. But but there's a good possibility one of these was on him when he got killed, one of the handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
So
cross-contaminated though with your
Well, see, but, back then, nobody even thought about it, so everybody handled them.
Sure,
so,
of course, yeah. Yep. This was a good episode. I know. We kind of have been off, but like, I needed to hear that story again, Stuart, because I knew that you guys did that. I just needed to know exactly how it went down so that everybody could be on the same page with us as they listen here.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're open to any ideas that people have. We have a couple. I think we'd like to look into testing DNA again.
Yeah.
And we're going to start working the channels to see if we can get something tested. So you guys all have to stay tuned. You know, maybe go to the shop, buy a couple shirts, help us pay for it. but long story short, this was a good episode, and I appreciate you guys. I really do care about you guys. I think this is an awesome project we're working on.
Love it. I love working with you guys. Yep, absolutely.
Just if we can come up with the truth, it'd be great.
Well, you know, and I'll add, too, that you know, some of this stuff we don't necessarily want to reveal, some of our leads and some of the things that we have in mind to test. You know, if there's someone out there that, you know, has the means and would like to fund, this project and help us out, you know, we're wide open for that.
Yeah. We'll take your money.
We'll take your money, but we actually do have some very credible, thoughts about how to proceed with this that I think could be very, fruitful.
Yep. Well, with that, we're going to end the episode. We appreciate you guys. Again, diggingupdillinger.com has everything that you need to hear from us and hear and talk to us about it. Please like, comment, share, and review the podcast and YouTube channel, as well as on Spotify. You can listen to a couple episodes and then give us a rating. Apple, you can just give us a rating right away, and then please leave a review and then share it, right? That's the best way
that
it grows. If you think someone's interested in kind of this gangster period era, that we'd love to get a follow. Anything else? Any last words here before?
Well, I'll just add to that, Joe, that please leave comments and questions and suggestions, because you just never know when someone's going to have an inspirational idea that that cracks the whole thing. So, and we're wide open to that. We don't have ego on this. We just want to get to the truth. That's all.
Yeah, some fresh ideas might do it.
Thank you, sirs. Thank you, guys. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And like we always say, keep digging. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.